Well, Sarah, history, war, the Bible, big themes, profound themes. Is Tommy Hartung a big, profound artist?
Actually, I have to say, it's funny how you, well, I guess it makes sense how you grouped these, because I really, really enjoyed his show, and there's so much to say about this work, but the aspect of it that I was most interested in is the film. Yes, there are all these big themes in the film and political themes, and it's a really jarring film, and there's some tough stuff in it. There's, I'm sure, I don't know if everyone is familiar with the story of this man who's self-immolated on the National Mall, but there's at a certain point, there's actually a cell phone video that someone made of this man setting himself on fire. And so there's some really tough material in this film. But it also, it's interspersed with these kind of amazing, like, montages of his sort of sculptural practice. That's the aspect of it that I found so fascinating, is that the film is really, it's almost about his practice as a sculptor, as a maker of objects. And then you have these objects sort of around that are so deeply kind of immersed in the history of, not in the history of art, in the history of outsider art. There's sort of Hans Bellmer in there. There's this kind of Cindy Sherman aspect even. I just think that with both of these exhibitions in different ways, they sort of remind me of why I enjoy looking at art, and that's a kind of, the way I always think of it is it's a transformational thing. It's transforming materials into something. It's like that Jasper Johns, I think it was, that said that art is like you take an object, you do something to it, and you do something else to it. And there's so many artists, they just go to the first do something and they don't do the second one. And both of these artists, like, absolutely, they take that next step. I would just say, like, another exhibition in town that's like so masterful in that way is the Martin Puryear show. Like, you see it and you sort of say, this is why, like, I go and see exhibitions. But anyhow, that was a bit all over the place, but
it sounds like two thumbs up in the movie-going sense
of it. Yeah, if you want to reduce it to that, yes.
But Edward, I just repeat the question in a way. I mean, these are really big themes, and Sarah talks about taking the next step. Is there profundity in this work, or is it simply an artist taking profound themes and not accessing their profundity?
Yeah, I didn't have the same response as Sarah. I found this less than profound, and there was a lot of frenetic energy in it, and he was doing a lot of things that to me didn't necessarily hold together. Calling this the Bible, whatever you think about the Bible, I mean, the Bible has stories in it, and I had trouble finding stories in it, except for there was this political narrative that seemed to be about, disturbing current events. But
his next show is going to be called Shakespeare.
Yeah, right. Might as well. Yeah.
Yes.
But actually, that it's funny. Everything you're saying is what I think is so great about it. Is that you look at the Bible? There's so many stories in there that just don't make sense, and it's cruel justice, and it's just cruel. I mean, And the frenetic quality, to me, that is what made it so affecting. Is it's kind of like it had this nightmare kind of non-logic logic to it. That actually, that there's a lot of that in the Bible, and the Bible is a scary document. And I thought that he got at something that's very difficult to articulate, and that's what made it so powerful to me. Is I did feel like I was in the midst of a nightmare with sort of flashing imagery, but it was to me very well executed.
The Bible, of course, is a compendium canonized by different faiths into being a book, which is obviously multiple texts with not only multiple authors, but multiple intentions and coming out of such different genres.
And that is full of extreme acts, like a father being asked to, you know, kill his son, and you have a man who, you know, self-immolates in the National Mall. And I think what he's getting at is that these undercurrents of gruesome violence in our culture today, in, you know, when I was watching it, I was thinking about these beheadings that are happening now. And just that kind of visceral, frightening aspect of current world events, he gets at it in a way that's totally non-linear, that's totally non-narrative, and somehow, though, there is a story in there. But it's not one that is told in a straight way, and I think it's a really accomplished piece in that way.
So, Lance, is Tommy Hartung a good example of the kind of artist who has misinterpreted the vision of art, which is to shock and unsettle us?
I said that's not an artist's job, actually, to shock, right?
Anyway. So it seems what Sarah is telling us that this exhibition reminds us of the violence and anarchy that's in the Bible, and also of the mythic quality of what's happening in our own times.
Yeah, I don't. I think for me there was a serious tone problem in the piece. I saw the whole thing. One aspect of it is that somebody is actually sitting in the gallery and doing things. I actually thought it was a mannequin for a long time sitting next to me, wearing blue coveralls, and there's a mask on the person's face, and it's kind of like looks like a prop from the film with glittery hair. And then he started to do things, which kind of freaked me out a little bit.
He's a graduate of the Marina Academy.
I mean, it was a little bit like a kind of a serial killer, but without the weapon. And so then it was, yeah, you know, he wrapped himself in twine at one time, and he put two fake candles out. But, you know, he just started pulling things out of his pocket, and I thought he was a mannequin. But kept my eye on him. Anyway. Oh, yeah, well, we danced, but no, I think that there was a tone problem with the piece. For me, the freneticism was a bit of a ploy. I felt like, you know, it was like the thing just really wasn't holding water for me as a complete hour-long film. And the kinds of things that I felt like the freneticism of it was a constant to try to link things together. And there are a couple of things for me going on. Like, I'm really getting sick of installation art that has a lot of colored cellophane in it and glitter and children's toys. And, you know, I just feel like I'm looking at my childhood. It's like, oh, more Barbie fucking dolls. You know, like, how many more times do I... It's like when you go to an antique store and you see all the toys from your childhood. And I feel like so often now I go into exhibitions and I see a rehashing of this stuff from the 1960s and 70s, and it had a kind of faux psychedelic quality too. So for me, it was more. He comes a little. Not the stuffed animal thing, but the dolls, the plastic quality of it, and in terms of the tone issue that I have with it, is that I don't think it knew what tone it wanted to be. I don't think it ever came to a place of coherence, so that it threw a lot of things at me, whether it was somebody setting himself on fire, or the dead body of this gay man who had been stoned to death, or people hiding from being attacked, or then little puppets and dolls and stuff. And I think that the range of going, the swinging of going from toys and childhood stuff, and yes, this gets into the Mike Kelly thing a little bit, but to the seriousness of people setting themselves on fire who are Vietnam vets who can't handle the fact that they had to deal with napalm during the war, it for me, it's a little glib. And I don't think the artist is really taking a position that where I know what the artist means. And so I feel like I'm just kind of being assaulted by all of this stuff. And yet I don't know the position of the artist, except that he's throwing all this stuff at me. And I really feel, and I'm not saying there has to be some kind of clear narrative content, but I do feel like there should be more of a center.
But again, that's exactly why I thought it was successful, is because to me it mirrors a situation in which there is no center.
Right, but art cannot be, just because there's chaos in the world doesn't mean that art can't be chaos because there's chaos. Like, art has to have its, art is a form. You know, art has to have a shape. You know, it has to be controlled.
If it is
going to embody chaos, it should orchestrate it in a way that it gives us the catharsis of going into and coming out of that chaos, or acknowledging the extreme violence of juxtaposition. It seemed to me there was something sophomoric, Edward, about his collisions of very profound goings on visually and banal music, or the other way around, of a kind of sacred chanting with silly sounds, silly visions and pictures, and the anarchy here seemed to be that of somebody just wanting to take on incredibly big themes and actually not having a vision to license him to go to those places. For me, the experience of an artist actually leading me to a greater appreciation than I've ever had before of Ryan Tricartin is probably a sign that something is very wrong going on in this show.
I think Ryan Tricartin is.
Ryan Tricartin set the gold standards.
Well, Ryan's
of,
10
a prankster,
Tommy's
messing around with crap, and. But this guy wants to throw in the Bible on top of it. I went twice. I didn't enjoy it, evidently. But I feel I need to go again, because if somebody as intelligent as Sarah is getting this experience from it that I'm missing, I need to really know why I'm being so.
I'm going back to the Abramovich.
Right.
But that's, well, we know why you're going back to the Abramovich.
Maybe it's a... But I think it's a function of looking at all these shows, and, you know, it's somewhat artificial. I mean, but, you know, you curate the selection of this, I assume, carefully. And I think that I can't help but think now of these shows in relation to one another. But I think... So let's do that for a second, okay? The Marina piece... It's like, say what you will about this Tommy Hartung, you know, it didn't, okay, maybe you don't think it was successful, but every frame of that was very, you could tell that like a lot of thought went into it and a lot of sort of work and a lot of contemplation, and whether or not you think it was successful, to me that barrage of images and the open-ended quality, I found very affecting. And I could sense a lot of thought having been put into it. And, you know, when you say, like, and it's like Ryan Tricartin, but he throws the Bible in. I happen to think that, I mean, I like Ryan Tricartin's work. I don't think all of it's successful. I think when it is successful, he gets at, again, something that you can't quite articulate, but it's part of the way we live today. I think he's tapped into something. Like, I think it's a real project. I think that what Tommy Hartung is doing is a real project. And I see this piece, and yeah, it's not a masterpiece, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does next, because I think he's a thoughtful artist. I think he is taking on the big themes, and the fact that, you know, that he's throwing the Bible in on top of it, as you say, I think he's gotten to you. And I think, you know, maybe that's a good thing, that, you know, that he's able to do that.
Oh, I'm afraid there are legions of artists who get to me by irritating me and making me think they need to go back to art school and start again. I'm afraid that's not in itself a staggering moral achievement. But
So I just want to say that a certain part of this seemed vaguely familiar to me. I was watching it and I said, I know what it is. It's SpongeBob. It's this, you know, weird combination of...
There's a cultural reference there that an Englishman needs helping with. Right. Who is SpongeBob?
SpongeBob SquarePants is like something that kids of a certain age watch for many years, my 15-year-old daughter being one of them.
Right.
And it's really kind of annoying, but it has a certain method to it. And that is, juxtaposition of things that are wildly different in scale, and material.
David Sally did that rather well. I mean, so is it, are we approaching this formally or are we approaching this spiritually? I mean, it seems to me that formally it's a redux of happenings from the 1950s, but without the energy and the originality. But surely we're not, this is not a formal exercise. Nicely handled, well executed, we look forward to seeing what you do next, Tommy. I mean, that's not what this is about. This is somebody who's taken on, chance from the synagogue and put it with Chelsea or Bradley Manning's statements, with little doilies squirting around, with kind of Hans Bellmer, Sarah Lucas, dolls sprawled over here, and some lost performance artist. This is somebody taking on really big themes who can't handle them. It just seems to me a spectacular failure.
You feel like he's just kind of taken a bunch of these things and mixed them up together and just.
He no doubt had an intention, but there's no intentionality in this mush that I'm seeing. That's my verdict, I'm afraid.
So to finish what I was saying about SpongeBob.
SpongeBob, I'm so sorry.
SpongeBob is not something that you'd use words like formal and spiritual in talking about it, because it really deploys these things just to sort of make sophomoric jokes. So I think maybe what you're responding to is the fact that he's put that stuff together with, you know, Hebrew music from the synagogue, or you know, Chelsea Manning and the guy who immolated himself. Mm-hmm. You know, you're saying there are limits to what you can do.
I guess that makes me a little bit culturally conservative, because the point of art is to transgress and to push boundaries, etc. But it seems to me, actually, these are potentially such powerful forces for us to confront and deal with, that somebody who's got nothing to say and can't bring it together is just way out of his league in having attempted to do so.
But I don't think the point of art is to transgress for the sake of transgression. I think if you transgress, there should be a point to it.
I need to hear the point. What is the point?
To me, there is a point to it in this piece. I think in a very broad sense, it's asking you to see the similarities between things that you might not see as similar. And
But all great opera productions do that when they transpose the setting. I mean, you can do a passion play, but with contemporary costumes and bringing in current scenes. But people have been doing that since the Middle Ages. I mean, this is not, the idea of historical transposition is absolutely, you know, just completely there in our culture. He's not doing anything new in that, other than just bringing. I just think it's a mess. But
we might have to agree to disagree.
Right. And I think we should use, we are looking at the watch. We need to press on. And